The clock is ticking for former President Trump to secure more than $450 million or face consequences from New York's Attorney General.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Some of the former president's iconic properties could be seized.
This is not some immediate process where Tish James is going to walk into 40 Wall Street on Tuesday and change the locks or something like that.
Trump claims money is not the problem.
We have a great company, but they want to take it away.
He also aired his grievances on Truth Social, criticizing the attorney general's record on violent crime while claiming he did absolutely nothing wrong. On Sunday, the former Republican National Committee chair defended efforts to use RNC donations to pay off Trump's legal bills.
If they feel strongly to support his legal bills, then they have every right to do so. And I think he's being very open that they're helping with his legal bills.
Democrats are blasting the presumptive GOP presidential nominee's legal woes. Republicans are coming to his defense.
This is not about party. This is not about politics. This is about corruption and criminality.
And President Trump is actually gaining popularity because they're just focusing on trying to go after him.
Trump has called the case against him election interference and is seeking a last-minute reprieve from an appeals court to prevent his assets from being seized. In Washington, Bree Jackson, NBC News.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. My name is Wayne Dupree, and let me introduce the Imam of Minnesota, Mr. Jason Robbins.
Hey, 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 happy Monday, everybody. I hope everybody else has their 50% discount coupon like Trump had on his judgment.
As you know, that video that we just showed at the beginning was, and I'm glad that we do the show in the middle of the day because we get breaking news. Breaking news just came down. Donald Trump has got his bond. I don't even know why it's a bond because he's not in jail. They keep calling it a bond. Whatever. It was $454 million is what they wanted him to pay or what Tish James wanted him to pay. So now it's $175, I think. $175, which is due in 10 days, which should be no problem because now Trump said over the last couple of days that he has close to 5 million. So this should be taken care of really fast. So Tish James loses out on getting any of his properties. What do you think?
You know, I got to say, you knew something was going to happen with this. And the Court of Appeals, this is the fifth time in this case that a court of appeals has overturned part of the Enron case with Letitia James. And I mean, $175 million for a fine for somebody, a crime with no victims, still ridiculous. And he'll still appeal it, but it should be a lot easier for him to get a bond, which is spectacular.
He's going to appeal and appeal?
What's that?
He's going to appeal and appeal?
Well, so he appealed to have the judgment reduced, but he'll still appeal. I'm guessing that the fine should, that they shouldn't be fined at all.
You could do that.
Yeah, no, he just appealed for the amount of it so that he could get a reduced bond he needs to secure. So he has 10 days.
Right. So what I'm saying is he appealed to get it reduced. Now he's going to appeal again to get it reduced again?
No, he appealed to get the fine reduced so that he could appeal the ruling. So the judge agreed to reduce his bond to $175 million so that he can still secure the bond and appeal the judgment. So he'll still try to get the case overturned. It's just he couldn't get a bond for $454.5 billion. It's ridiculous. So,
For what many people are saying is unexpectedly good news from the appellate court. But and like, as I said, instead of having to come up with nearly $500 million for the fraud case, like Jason said, $175 million within 10 days, which that should be a drop in the bucket, to tell you the truth. Trump insiders say he should be able to do so without any problem. Without that ruling, he faced the prospect of having properties and assets seized. But like you saw in the video, it's not like she was going to go in there tomorrow and start. Well, knowing her,
she was going to try. Would.
Yeah. Knowing her, she probably was going to do it.
She's pulling up with a chain. She's ready. Hey, I got all these illegals ready to move into Trump Tower. Come on.
You know what? You said something. You said something last week, but I was worried big time. I was worried big time because you said Mar-a-Lago, right? And I never thought about that. I was like, I mean, you know, and you also said Trump Tower, and I could see that because first off, Trump left New York. Trump doesn't even live in New York. His business, he has still business stuff in New York, but he moved to Florida. And he got out of there because he doesn't like New York, you know, all the taxes and stuff and all that stuff in there. So when I was looking at some of these judgments or you know, that big judgment right there, I was like, this is payback. This is payback for him leaving. This payback from him leaving and taking businesses out of New York and stuff. And I was like, they're trying to get him back, not only for his quote, his alleged fraud, but they're trying to get him back to make a statement to other companies in New York and stuff. You know, I mean, I don't think that, even though they might be small potatoes, I think they're going to start going after some other companies that also left and stuff like, but you know, we'll see. Either way, he's in New York right now for, you know, this Stormy Daniels thing. We really don't talk about it too much on the show. We really don't. I mean, I honestly thought it was over. Thought it was over. She got her, she got a payment, right? Or didn't she get a pay? I thought it was over. And now she's coming out as saying that she did whatever she did because she was scared of Donald Trump. She went to the hotel. I saw this video where she was in, you know, he was my elder. And, you know, I was like, what? What?
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the South, and we're told to respect our elders and stuff and everything. And I was scared. You? And I'm not saying, okay, yes I am, yes sir. I her credibility to me is
right.
You know, her credibility to me, Stormy Daniels. Now, if something happened to her, something happened to her. I don't think Trump did it, but that's my opinion. That's my opinion. Now, because you know, some people are chameleons. They'll take something that happened to them over here and something that happened over here. And then another thing that happened way in the past and they mesh it all in one. And then they blame it on Jay. And we're sitting in front of TV eating Stay Puffs and stuff and watching Netflix and something come from Wayne Dupree, Jason Robinson, blame. Wait, what?
Right.
I wasn't around that time. What is that gonna? What is this thing about? What's her name?
Stormy Daniels.
What is this thing about her? What, I mean,
so why is this case was one of the first Trump cases. Attorney General Alvin Bragg's and Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen's tied into it, and this has been cooking the whole time. By the way, this is the case Carl and I have a bet on. Carl has bet on this case that Donald Trump will be convicted of a felony. I said he wouldn't. The case, the trial is set to start in about 3 or 4 weeks. The whole thing comes down to Stormy says she and Trump had an affair and he paid her hush money because she was going to drop the story right before the election. Now, all that perfectly legal. Rich people, I mean, you don't even need to contest whether he did or didn't or whatnot. What Braggs is going after him for, and this is mind-blowing, that Donald Trump used his personal money. He paid Michael Cohen, paid her. He used his money and paid Michael Cohen back for paying Stormy Daniels. What the lawsuit is, they're saying he committed a felony because he should have used campaign money to pay Michael Cohen, who instead would pay Stormy Daniels, because they said it was money that was designed to help his presidential campaign, not his personal benefit. But I guarantee if he used campaign funds to pay instead of personal funds, he'd be facing charges for misusing campaign funds. So, in this case, the two things that the prosecution's got to really get over is first, the fact that the payoff to Stormy was legal. Whether you like it, not whatever your moral opinion is, whether it happened or not, none of that matters. The payment was legal. The second thing is they've got to make the case that he committed election fraud by not using campaign money. And their star witness is Michael Cohen, which has been convicted. He pled to this in addition to other tax fraud. And it came out last week in a filing with on a different case that Michael Cohen's credibility is garbage. That's what the judge said.
Right.
So their star witness has no credibility. Stormy Daniels, really, whatever she has to say doesn't matter because it's what's being tried here. And they're going to try to have a lot of testimony of what happened. Did he sleep with her and go through all that? But none of that matters. He's charged.
You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but as a family thing, if they're trying to break up his marriage and stuff, that question is going to be asked on the thing, you know, and wow. You know, yeah. I mean, I really feel bad for Melania, man. I do that. She's having me put through this. Let me say something real quick before, because we're at the precipice of World War III, and I really wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Touch on that a little bit, but when it comes to, and we also have two guests coming on, one from the New Federal State of China, Ayla Wang, and also Joshua Phillips from the
Epoch Times,
right? The Epoch Times. But before we even get to that, breaking news. I guess the UN Security Council is agreeing with the UN ceasefire resolution. Netanyahu has now canceled senior aides meeting with the Biden administration after it passed. And not that this is connected, but in a way it might be connected. You know, the Candace Owens Daily Wire thing happened over the weekend. My thing about that, Jay, and I put it on my timeline because in the echo chamber that is where we post a lot, people are taking sides.
Yep.
And I'm like, I think that many people are sheep if they take sides in this whole situation because both of them, I'm talking about, Daily Wire, the company, and Candace Owens, the former employee, they, altogether, they give their opinions. It's their opinions, you know. If they want to get rid of an employee based on history of opinions that might not be conducive to the company, that's her right. That's her right. And if she wants to say whatever she wants to say for Palestine and whatnot, that's her right. But I don't think anybody should really be taking sides. Let them do it. And if they want to blow up whatever they got over there, let them blow it up. But we have other things to fry. Like I said, we got World War III on the precipice. What they did to...
in Russia.
You know what? I have to say, and I know I'm throwing some things at you, so I want you to remember these and answer these. But I have to say that Putin has got to be one of the most patient leaders that I have seen in a long time. He might be evil, but he's patiently evil. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't think anybody really knows what he's going to do. But you don't have gunmen come in and kill over 130 people in your country and you not do something.
Right.
Actually, that sounds like a Joe Biden thing, but not a Vladimir Putin thing. Am I right? Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I was going to say, first to weigh in on the Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro thing. In my opinion, this is just a business deal that went wrong. And if you remember the Crowder thing, Boring released the contract. And basically how it works, folks, when you are a content creator, you either run, you get paid ad money through ads on a platform, through YouTube or Rumble or whatnot. You also have subscriptions. Subscriptions are nice. The more subscriptions you get, the more you aren't reliant on paying your bills from ad money from YouTube and Rumble. The problem with the Crowder deal was he wanted to be able to say whatever he would say. And if it resulted in his ad money being shut down, then he still wanted to get paid the same. And Daily Wire is like, if you're not producing ad revenue, how are we going to pay you? And so I suspect this Candace thing basically broke down to she was saying things that limited the ad revenue that she was getting on the platforms, reducing how much she makes, because you're kind of on commission in a lot of those deals. But then when she started saying stuff that started affecting subscribers, I think the Daily Wire probably went to her and said, dude, like, you can keep saying this stuff, but you're just going to cost yourself money because there's topics you can't talk about if you want to get regular ad money from YouTube. And if you piss off the subscribers, like, what do you do? So I suspect at the root of it was just a compensation thing. So she's got her own site set up. God love her. You know, go support her if you like her work. I like her work. She's got things you can do to subscribe. But this Russia thing, for those who didn't hear, because it wasn't covered that much. So Victoria.
Did you notice that? Wait a minute. Did you notice that? I had to look at the BBC and India Times. I had to look at their broadcast to see what was going on in real time over there in Russia. I'm looking at what's happening over here in the United States. God bless her. God bless William's wife. We'll probably talk about that later. But God bless her. But that wasn't the main story, y'all. Russia was... I'm sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, so Victoria Nuland, who is responsible and at the root cause of many problems in the Middle East and our foreign stuff, our just our foreign policy, she retired a couple weeks ago. And then Obama magically appeared over in Europe and England and a couple other spots. And then the State Department warned, John Kirby warned Russia about terrorist attacks and specifically mentioned a concert. This was on the last 2 to 3 weeks. And we've talked about these on the show, like, oh, this is kind of weird. And then over the, I think it was on Friday, at a concert in Russia, 4 guys that are reported to be ISIS went in. I think the death toll is over 150 people. Wow. They live streamed. They filmed it. Sure, they shot the place up. They injured a ton of people. They released GoPro videos on like Telegram and whatnot of them shooting people and slitting people's throats. It's horrible. But I think they were supposed to get away. And then magically ISIS takes responsibility. Then everybody, then these guys leave and they head to the Ukraine border, where right. there was a gap in the border, ironically, where they could get through into Ukraine. They caught one guy right away, and then they caught, I think, the three or four other guys total, and they have used some aggressive interrogation techniques, shall we say, and their identities have started coming out. They had them in court, and yeah, I mean, ISIS is saying it's them, which ISIS, who Trump largely neutered, they've been battling with Russia over the last several decades. Obama is reported to have started ISIS, to, for all the fact checkers out there, and supported their rise. And like all this ties back to Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East. But Wayne hit the nail on the head. I mean, Putin, they blew up his favorite bridge. They took out Nord Stream pipeline, which is a huge financial thing. Right. Ukraine is starting to bomb oil refineries with U.S. drones.
Yep.
At which the U.S. even came out and said, hey, guys, stop doing that. Because, I mean, as sad as it is, a lot of the oil and natural gas is what's keeping Europe heated in the winter. And and now they've had a terrorist attack on Russian soil. And
dude.
So this I is mean, gonna, it's... And it's like not covered in the news.
No,
but, I mean, that should have been everything everybody was talking about on the Saturday, Sunday shows. But it wasn't. It wasn't even mentioned, barely.
I was shocked. I can't imagine if that happened over here.
Right.
And I know that we've had bad situations in churches and in dance halls and stuff like. Yeah. But to, I mean, these people are getting bad. I mean, to live stream it.
But put it in perspective.
Yeah, I know.
We have 8 million undocumented illegals. We know they've come from countries that hate our guts.
Yeah.
And they had, this was all done by four or five people.
Yeah.
That, you know, killed over 100 at a concert venue. And, I mean, just we've been talking about that even when the Israeli attack happened on October 7th. That was like 1,000 people. We have 8 million people who we don't even know who they are, you right. know, and it could be up to as high as 15 million. I mean, what the heck? It's, what's going to happen, you know, as we get to spring and summer and 10 dudes who don't like America very much decide to do something? I mean, that's going to.
And, you know, we've kind of talked about that on the show. Usually before a general election, there's a racist type of event or an event that is labeled racist, whether it's a black person being killed or a white person being killed or something like that. It usually has a racist innuendo face to it that is supposed to play out within the elections. We've said on this show, well, I said on this show a couple weeks ago, I think that it's going to be a legal immigration type of thing. And I'm not saying that this was a precipice to what I'm talking about. But did you see last week where they overran the border?
Yeah.
You saw that video?
Yep.
Let me tell you something. There is a way you can stop all of this like that. And some people might not agree, but I think most people will. Once you overrun American troops at the border, you have to show them that they can't do it anymore. And I'm not talking about firing up in the air.
Right.
That's an invasion type of thing. That's not a asylum seeking type of thing. That's an invasion type of thing. You run over, you stomp, you injure American soldiers soldiers that are trying to protect the American border. You aren't in here to become law-abiding citizens. You're breaking the law. That's what used to get me with the Univision guy. The Univision guy used to say, yes, they're in the country illegal, but they're law-abiding citizens. And they pay their taxes. No, they don't. No, they do. And they're not law abiding. If they came over here illegally, and reports are that February was a record month. But if they came over here illegally, and first off, they're over here illegally. That's against the law. That's number one. I don't care whether you say, right. I don't care whether you say, well, they're law abiding. They're not. They're over here illegally. That's number one. And then they're, did you hear, I think it was in California. They're letting them walk.
Those 200 guys, and for those who haven't seen the video, ironically, that video, even on Twitter, is labeled dangerous content. I retweeted somebody that shared the video, and I got a notification. And I don't share the spicy stuff even on Twitter. Right. And I got a notification, one of your posts has been labeled sensitive content. And I'm like, the heck did it? I do. And I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the border one. And so it was like 200 military age males. It sounds like the report is that they kind of separated them. So that was part of why it was all the military age. And they pushed past Texas National Guard. And then, and then the feds sealed the gate, the second gate, and said, okay, here's what's scary though. All those folks, it sounds like, were processed, and virtually all of them have already been released within 48 hours into the continental United States. So, those who are on platforms, you won't see it on Twitter. Anybody that shares video on Twitter or on Facebook, anybody that shares video on there, your page is getting taken down. Just don't do it. But you can see it in news articles. It's on Twitter and on some other things. But if you see it, and it really wasn't violent compared to the Russian videos, let's say. But yeah, all those people that stormed past Texas National Guard, got released into the U.S. They probably hopped a bus, got handed a cell phone, got sent to New York or Chicago or wherever, and they're getting food stamps today, you know. And it's Wayne hits the nail on the head too. If you start your relationship with the United States breaking immigration law, you are by definition an illegal. Go home
already.
Yep. You know.
Yep. There's nothing anybody can say to us that is going to get us to change our mind that they're law abiding when they're already illegal.
Right.
There's nothing. There's nothing you can say. I don't care. I don't care what type of dish you can cook. I don't care if you take out the trash. I don't care if you come in and clean the house from top to bottom. I really don't care. I really don't care how many times that you clean the bathroom. I really don't care. You're illegal. You are illegal in this country. You're taking somebody else's spot. You're taking somebody else's job. You're getting extra benefits that military veterans. I even go with the military veterans. Military veterans should be getting homeless kids, fatherless kids, things like that. We don't have. Jason talks about the debt. Okay, Jason talks about the debt. Really gets to it. Talk about the $1 trillion. We ain't got the money to spend, right? We ain't got the space for these people. We don't. We don't have the space for these illegal immigrants. Back in the '80s, they said, "Oh yeah, this is like a 8-9 million illegals." That was back in the '80s.
Yep.
And that number is still being pushed through the media today. Well, you know, it's only 8-9 million. Malarkey.
Well, and taking out the whole legal, illegal citizenship stuff for a second, the fact of the matter is, immigrants historically came to America for a better life. They showed up with $10 in their pocket with the plan they're going to work their butt off and make something of themselves. The people coming to America right now are coming for free stuff. And the people, and folks, we are living on the credit card right now. We got no free stuff to give these people. No, and they're showing up wanting free stuff. In fact, they're demanding free stuff. They're mad they're not getting enough free stuff. And the food isn't good enough. And, you know, why are they only putting me up in a hotel for 6 months? And why, you know, the point of immigrants is to make your nation stronger, not to pick up more financial dependence. Right. I mean, you don't look at your neighborhood and go, ah, let me go pay my neighbor's bills. We can't even pay our own. We can't even take care of our own poor or military veterans or old people or disabled. Why are we taking on millions of people that we can't afford to take care of all our existing citizens? It's insane.
I totally agree. I'm with you 100% on that. As you know, Hutch isn't here. Hutch is taking care of some things today. So me and Jason are rocking the boat. We're trying to make things happen. We got a friend of ours, our sister.
It's Nayla Day.
Yeah, she is. She's going to join us here on the Wayne Dupree Show. Let me bring to her Ayla Wang and the beautiful background of New York Harbor. What's up, little sis? What's going on?
Morning, brothers. Thank you for having me always on Monday. I'm very happy to be here.
Ugh. Let me tell you something. Yeah, we're so happy to have you. And now I can legitimately say our partners for the last year. Not half a year, not almost a year. Our partners for the last year is the New Federal State of China. They bring us up to date and with so much that is happening between the people of China versus the CCP. I can gladly say it like that. The people of China versus the CCP. Also, it should be the American people versus the CCP too. Before we get into a couple of things that we really want to talk about, came across a video over the weekend. The New York Times had a story on what the New York Times is trying to disparage this group. I think Xinjiang. Xinjiang. The New York Times is trying to disparage this group. There have been some articles that are trying to protect this group. I'm going to play a little bit of it. And I have to say that I kind of shed a little tear when I watched it earlier, because the beauty that is the culture. Okay. I say it like that. The beauty that is the culture is almost being snuffed out by the CCP. Yep. The CCP to me is almost like a dark cloud over a real beautiful culture. And as what the New Federal State of China is trying to do, this ballet company is trying to do in a way to show the whole world what Chinese culture is all about outside of the CCP. Let me play this.
5,000 years of Chinese music and dance in one night. A spectacle. Visually dazzling. Simply astounding to watch. Experience Shen Yun.
Oh, the show is phenomenal.
This is the best ever.
The way I look at Shen Yun is this heavenly experience. I have never seen in my life so many amazing dancers, so many amazing and beautiful costumes.
Everything in the movements and the smile and the emotion.
Absolute perfection. I just have chills. Can you tell?
The music is really extraordinary.
It sounded like it was pre-recorded. It was hard to believe it was actually live music. It was so perfect.
There's no other company in the United States that does this.
My heart was touched tonight.
I love every moment, especially the message. The message of the Chinese ancient culture.
They come.
Ayla, y'all come from good stock. That's y'all come from good stock. The more, and you know, I've seen more video about that since. How disgusted, put it in words, how disgusted you are with the CCP and what it has really done to your country. in a way to cover up that beautiful, that beautiful way of lifestyle, almost as if they were jealous of it, to be honest. How do you feel about that?
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, Shunrin is linked to a religious group named as Falun Gong, whose mission is also against the Chinese Communist Party. The problem here today in China is that the Chinese Communist Party wants to eliminate the beauty of the Chinese culture and the beauty and the wisdom of the Chinese people in history. By watching this video, it reminds me of all, you know, the beautiful Asian dance and Chinese cultures, you know, about people in China. The problem is that if you look at the Spring Festival Gala of the Chinese Communist Party, you know that that CCP's gala is full of lies, sexual deals, money deals. That today that the Chinese Communist Party was trying to hijack, you know, the entertainment industries, the dancers, the singers to sin for the Chinese Communist Party. You look at the movie stars in China, dancers and singers in China, they almost every single of them has to kowtow to the Chinese Communist government so that they can obtain any performance opportunities in China and they can gain some money and to support their own livings. You look at the top movie stars, Fan Bingbing, who's, you know, being mentioned by Miles in Whistleblowers Movement multiple times, that this famous female movie star has been in a long time with a sexual relationship with a former vice president of the Chinese Communist Party, Wang Qishan. In fact, that you know, Miles said in his early videos, saying that there was one time within an internal CCP meetings, dinner meetings, that this former vice president asked all of these dancers and movie stars, saying that, you know, that the Chinese economy's prices are going up, so do you guys, right? You guys' prices are up as well. And the movie star has to say that, but for you, you know, the vice president, our meals is free. It's almost saying that, you know, we belong to you because you are the Chinese Communist Party and we surrender you. And this is the reality of Chinese movie stars and of the Chinese entertainment histories. It is, you know, it is almost astonishing for every single Chinese people to hear that. And, you know, beyond that, if you look at Hollywood, you know, all of these entertainment industries, mm-hmm. This is where CCP tries to control. Once they control the movie stars, they control the movie series that you saw. They almost right. control all of your entertainment life and the ideologies that you will observe. So only by taking down the Chinese Communist Party, you can see the actual and the free Chinese Asian culture and the actual beauty of the Chinese people.
Right.
Ayla, you know, it's fascinating when you talk about the influence of the Chinese Communist Party, because I came across an article that kind of knocked my socks off. The CCP did a cyber attack on British election software. And I read that. I'm like, holy cow, that is very brazen. And it sounds like reports are still being confirmed. You guys can probably confirm some of that. But it scares me, too, that this is a preview of potentially them impacting our elections in America. What does the NFSC know about this cyber attack on the British election system?
Well, absolutely. So CCP cyber warfare has been outstanding, you know, in the past decade. If you look at America, you look at UK, you look at Taiwan, these are almost the three targets of the Chinese Communist Party. You know, with very basic tools and essential IT companies that we whistleblowed earlier on, that lots of IT companies have worked with the Chinese Communist Party and received direct instructions from the Chinese government to hack governments of the West and to hack essential department data to obtain those information for the Chinese Communist Party. Weeks ago, one IT company named iSun, based in Shanghai, was one of those companies that worked with the CCP. And if you saw all of the whistleblowing messages and screenshots from a former employee in that company, you found those communications directly from the government confirming that they're receiving instructions from the National Security Department and saying that the instruction was to hack a government of Thailand, government of other countries and Western countries, and they price each hacking project with exact price and quotes to those companies. And so the problem here today is that CCP had already launched a massive cyber warfare attack to all of the Western countries, not just the UK election software. You look at America, the essential data and the genetic data has also been stolen by the Chinese Communist Party. So today, the essential is that we need to decouple with the Chinese Communist Party technologically. Those softwares and lots of chips were actually supported and technologies from the America. This enabled the CCP to launch such cyber warfare against you.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because I also saw another headline that talked about how China was blocking the use of Intel and AMD chips in state devices, right?
Yeah, when to be honest, I think it's rather very late for the CCP to say that they want to block those chips and transfer these technologies from domestic chips. The fact today is that if you look at Huawei, almost the biggest IT companies in China, Huawei's chips was actually based on technologies in the United States. The latest Huawei's phones were exactly based on the technology that Huawei stole from America. And so today, it is almost impossible for Chinese Communist Party to rely on its own technology when they start to, when they start to say that, they're blocking chips from America. The problem today is that we're believing that many of the chip manufacturers are trying to decouple with the Chinese government. And the most common, strategy is to stop providing services, stop providing hard chips, and stop providing any selling and any production channels to the Chinese Communist government. And this is an essential way to cut off and even pause the technological aggression from the Chinese Communist Party. And once doing that, CCP's technology is literally a paper tiger.
Speaking of paper tigers, you're seeing more defections from the CCP, and you're seeing more people from the CCP or former members of the CCP getting run down or getting arrested, or people are... It almost feels like rats leaving a sinking ship, but it looks like they're going to go after the former Minister of Public Security and try to lock him up. Can you first explain to the audience what that minister is and then why the CCP is going after him?
Well, absolutely. So the former Minister of Public Security in China, whose name is Meng Jianzhu, he was one of the most powerful figure in the Chinese Communist Party in terms of his connections with Macau, with Thailand, Malaysia, and his networks of drugs and of money laundering, and also, the power of military. If you pay attention to, internal CCP, issues, you found that his former assistant, Liu Yejin, was actually detained and removed from office last week. And his, biggest assistant by his side was one of the most important figures for himself. And if you link that to Mao's previous videos, Mao once said, if you saw that the Chinese Communist Party was trying to remove big figures like the former, Minister of Public Security or former Vice President of the CCP, if you saw that the President Xi was trying to detain them and trying to remove them from the office, that means the building of the Chinese Communist Party is generating the clicking sound, meaning a catastrophe of the CCP is going to take place. So at this time, what we saw today is that the centralized power and the fear of President Xi in the Chinese Communist Party, he was almost trying to collect all powers and remove them from the office. But in return, don't forget, these people are not just being in the office for one single year. These people have been in those places for decades. Lots of internal struggles will take place, and it will be very, very brutal within the CCP itself. And if you link all of the technological and financial decoupling with the internal struggles of the Chinese Communist Party, a catastrophe for, you know, the collapse of the CCP is inevitable. And on the other hand, Chinese deplorables will also experience sufferings from these internal struggles as well.
Before Hutch, as you know, is in here, he's on assignment today. But Xi was calling for the ethnic Chinese to tell Beijing's story. Is that right?
Well, I think this week she was actually trying to meet lots of businessmen and people who have been in, you know, U.S. and China commercial relationship in Beijing. And if you look at Tim Cook, who have been landed in Shanghai last week and promised to CCP's TV, saying that the production of iPhone will continue to work with China, you know that Xi's most concerning part today is the economy of the Chinese Communist Party. She was trying to absorb and trying to encourage other foreign investments coming into China. He was also trying to convince other countries and his enemies within the party, saying that he can control and promote the CCP's economy.
You know, it's interesting too, because I think the CCP's collapse is really predicated on this financial collapse. And I think they've been cooking their books for decades. They've been using money very strategically to buy off politicians or pay off corporations or that sort of thing. But ultimately, with the bankruptcy of a couple of these big real estate conglomerates, and it appears that they're reaching a tipping point just financially where there's a collapse coming. Do you think that collapse is going to happen before or after the 2024 election? Like, what are you guys seeing on the ground?
Well, I think on a time frame, the CCP's economy is going down every single day. And it's not just financially or economically. If you consider about, you know, the food supply chains of the Chinese deplorables, right, a financial catastrophe will also lead to an inevitable, disasters in the food supplies to the Chinese deplorables. And these two will cause huge sufferings for the Chinese deplorables. I would say that because of the importance of the 2024 election, Chinese Communist Party will try to portray a fake economy image until the end of the election. But the truth is that it is very hard for President Xi to manage that. You look at all of the economic and financial infrastructures in the past. This was not built by Xi. This was built by former vice president, whose name is Wang Qishan. And his assistants was also being detained. Many of his assistants and central figures who built up early investments into China was detained and removed from the office in the last few years. And so the fact and the reality is she has never touched even a tip on CCP's actual economy infrastructures in the past. And this is primarily why that he's having so much fear, and he wants to detain every single potential competition and potential enemy of surround him. And so to me, I think the catastrophe of CCP's economy is inevitable, and right, this will take place very, very soon.
Before we let you go, give everybody an update on Miles. Also, an update on the NFSC, what y'all are doing for the week, and how people can find you and support your work.
Absolutely. So as we all know, there are a couple files that have been updated in Miles's case docket. He himself is still, you know, working with his legal team and trying to prepare the trial in May. At this moment, his trial is still set the date on May the 20th. We knew that lots of supporters were trying to, go to New York and fly from other countries to visit him and to attend this trial. We have also been aware that, you know, over 200 medias were trying to reach out and trying to report Miles's trial since starting from May. So we pray for him every single day. And with the new federal state of China, please look out for any updates in Miles's case, and you know, more information and exclusive and intel will be shared, you know, on a weekly or monthly basis from the new federal state of China.
Well, with that said, again, we thank you for the information that you give us. If I have some more questions, I'll send them to you through our little chain that we have. But happy anniversary to us. and keep on doing what you're doing, because we've known about the new federal state of China for a year. We really didn't know too much about, I mean, it's easy to see the political side of what the CCP is doing, but to see the beauty of where China is, to see that real beauty, and to know that the CCP is trying to suppress it and to shadow ban it, is another thing. But again, we keep saying that y'all are brave, and please, please believe us when we use that word. We're not using it lightly, because they're going to start coming after you. They're going to start coming after you really hard because of the truth that you put out there. And whatever we can do to continue to help put that truth out, we will do for you. But thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, brothers. The true heroes are always stay behind the scenes, right? The true heroes are the ones who gave us those whistleblowing messages. And so, you know, happy anniversaries. And, you know, we believe that more anniversaries will be coming, and maybe just two or more, you know, two or three more anniversaries that we will actually witness the collapse of the CCP.
God,
I think, let's see, March, April, May, June. I think we're about 3 months. Jason, I think we're about 3 months away from seeing them.
Yeah, isn't it June or so?
Yeah. I think they're having
Ayla's going to be there, hopefully, and Roy.
Yeah, you better be there. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Ayla, when are you going to be on Infiltration Files?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to talk to Roy, I guess.
Yeah, go tell Roy. Like, the crowd wants you on there. Ava was on there the other day, so...
Roy is sleeping. We got to talk to Roy.
Right.
Roy is sleeping, but
he's a big deal now. He's giving speeches at CPAC, and like...
but I mean, look, and I saw Ayla too. Y'all dress beautifully when y'all are doing stuff. When y'all really mean to do something, y'all look good. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, is that little Ayla in that photo? I think you were calling in to another show, but they had a picture of you standing in front of her. I'm like, is that little Ayla? Man, she is
under the nines.
Yeah, she's grown up in a year. Yeah.
I'm like, what are we going to do when we go to their headquarters, Wayne? I mean, do I got to change out of the flannel?
I know. I know. Am I supposed to wear a suit or something? I don't
right.
know. Crazy.
Gotta go to G fashion.
No, yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Is that G fashion that you're wearing right there?
That is, but
yeah. See, I knew it. And I kept looking, I was like, I'm gonna ask her before we let her go. You wanna talk about G fashion really quick too?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think, you know, lots of Chinese people, when they get rich or when they have more money, they try to pursue luxury brands. But the truth is today, if you look at all of the luxury brands, none of them were made for Chinese people, and none of them were focusing on Chinese cultures. And today, you know, G fashion is aimed at provide, you know, the high end quality of the production of clothes and try to combine Chinese beauties and the Asian beauties and Chinese cultures into every single pieces of the clothes. All of those materials were actually from, you know, great factories in Italy, and there is a professional team who is working and also supporting, you know, this movement and all of these bravery individuals who speak against the Chinese Communist Party. So it really is, you know, a blessing to get to see these clothing and get to wear them on the show. We hope that, you know, by taking down the Chinese Communist Party, every single Chinese deplorables can dress, you know, differently and demonstrate a new image of the Chinese people.
Well, yeah, y'all really got it going over there. What's that website for G, the product for G Fashion?
Yeah, it's gfashion.com.
Gfashion.com. Okay. Gfashion.com. Okay. Little sis, got to let you go, but thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, voters. I'll see you next week.
All right.
This is a pure case of voter intimidation and election interference, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen. This case could have been brought by the DA, but they didn't want to bring it because they said they have no case, and then they bring it anyway. As you know, DA Bragg did not want to bring this case. He was forced into it by for outside reasons, and it's a disgrace that it can happen. But this was a case that could have been brought 3.5 years ago, and they decide to wait now, just during the election, so that I won't be able to campaign. I will be appealing this for the...
Thank you, Ayla Wang from the New Federal State of China. And coming up next right now is an individual that is an investigative journalist who is out there trying his best to break down stories and stories and articles about things that Americans should be knowing about and are being kept from knowing about. Say it like that, Joshua Phillips. I'm going to play a video because he is very, very in tune to Xinjiang. Did I say it again? Right. Okay. He's very in tune to Xinjiang. And again, when I watched this video, as a matter of fact, let me get the long one, actually. I sent it to the guys. Right. Go ahead, Jay.
I was going to say, if I could just chime in. So Joshua works for the Epoch Times. And for those who don't follow or subscribe to the Epoch Times, you're missing out. And I first became kind of turned on to their journalism in that 2016, 17, 18 era. And they had really great breakdowns on the Russiagate stuff. And I remember when I got my newspaper subscription, I got this big poster and a book, and I had the poster on the wall in my office. And their reporting was much like the NFSC, where it wasn't very speculative. It was, here's the facts, here's what we've seen. They were covering a lot of things people don't do. And for boomers like me who like to sit there drinking coffee, reading the paper, you get your weekly paper from them, like boom, in the mailbox. And I mean, you can consume all the digital content too, but sometimes I like the old school paper. So Epoch Times is one of my go-tos for news, especially things that everybody should know that isn't necessarily covered. And I'm so excited to see them because even in Minnesota, which is as liberal as it gets, as you drive around the city, they're starting to have billboards up around the Twin Cities. And I'm like, that's got to be such a great indication of how their business is doing. And I see them more active on social media and papers. Mm-hmm. So when I saw we were having Josh on the show, I'm like, this is awesome. I love what those guys are doing. And I can't encourage our viewers enough to make sure you go check their stuff out. So, but yeah, we're going to dive into China with Joshua today. Yeah. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, to give everybody a little background information on it, let me play a quick video and then we'll have Josh on the other side.
Before communism, China had a glorious past. What if you could bring it back? Since 2006, Shenyun has been reviving the essence of Chinese civilization, deeply rooted in ancient values like compassion, honesty, and faith. Yet decades of destruction, deceit, and violence have nearly destroyed a nation's values, along with its own identity. So how do you revive what has been lost in today's China? At the core of Shenyun is an ancient art form, classical Chinese dance. Classical Chinese dance, movement begins with the heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Phillips, host of Crossroads, investigative journalist, here on the Wayne Dupree Show. Let me check, Josh, as I was telling Ayla right before you, watching the beauty of the culture that China has. And is being suppressed by the CCP, it hurts you to the heart. I mean, it hurts you to the heart. Welcome to the show. This is your first time here, and I'm so glad to have you. Tell us about Crossroads, and then tell us why this subject touched you for you to want to explore it more and to analyze it and then also report on it.
Yeah, so I do a show, of course, with Epic TV called Crossroads. And, you know, first of all, just thank you so much for having me here. It's a real pleasure being here. Yeah, first time, but I love your work. I love the work you guys do.
Thank you.
And, you know, just like you, just a truth teller out there to find the real stuff. But one of the cornerstones of my career as a journalist, I've been with Epic Times since 2006, an investigative reporter since 2008. Has been focused on exposing, investigating Chinese espionage, you know, from the Chinese Communist Party. I have investigated, for example, CCP United Front Works. If you heard about the Chinese secret police stations, I was investigating that way back in like 2008. But one of the biggest targets of the Chinese Communist Party is this American, you know, New York-based performing arts company, which you just showed the video of, called Shenyun. And, you know, it may seem strange to people at first, like, why would the Chinese Communist Party dedicate just massive amounts of resources to try to stop a dance company trying to show traditional Chinese values? And, you know, that's one of the things I've been looking into. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, uses everything it can, diplomats, financial pressure, even threats of, like, cutting business ties with entire countries, all of which is used to try to suppress or stop Shenyun Performing Arts from being able to do its shows. And we've been finding even recently there's been, you know, threats against them, which we believe may be tied to the Chinese Communist Party. There's been attempts to cause, you know, mass death incidents where individuals drilled holes into the tires of the Shenyun buses, which would, you know, of course, could lead to the tires exploding while they're on the roads. The CCP has tried everything to stop Shenyun. And I think the reason why is because Shenyun is restoring the culture the CCP destroyed. You might know I recently did in some investigations in Chicago, notably where we found evidence that a U.S. government employee working as a customs agent seemed to be even trying to enforce CCP law in the United States, also trying to target Shenyun. And so it's wild stuff.
You know, Josh, it's an honor to have you on the show. I love the work you guys are doing over there. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating reading your guys' content about this, because if you look at the Hollywood connection and how, I mean, as a general statement in America, we're pretty open with the arts. We support all the arts. There's even some just awful stuff that as a country, we
let some pretty ridiculous stuff in too.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Hollywood is teaming up with the CCP to try to take down this seemingly, I mean, it on its surface, it doesn't appear dangerous or threatening, but I think it threatens them at kind of a, like a religious or a cultural level. Can you kind of expand on that for our audience? Kind of why this is such a big deal and why Hollywood's going along with it?
Well, so Hollywood is a separate issue, but it's very similar also.
Right.
So the thinking of the Chinese Communist Party, going back to Mao Zedong himself, right, the former head, the chairman of the CCP, the thinking was always that art cannot just be art as a means of self-expression, that art is a political tool. And during one of the first things the CCP did after it took power in China was it launched a campaign called the Cultural Revolution and other ones alongside it, where they set out to destroy all of Chinese traditional culture. They labeled it as the four olds, old beliefs, old customs, old ideas, you know, so on, right? Everything that represented what the Chinese people were and what the Chinese nation was, the Chinese Communist Party destroyed. If you had flowers growing in front of your house, you could be labeled a rightist and they could kill you. If you were a woman and you wore makeup, they could call you like a rightist and they could persecute you for it. Any kind of tradition, belief, religion, everything, because it was rooted all throughout the Chinese arts and dance and culture, right? Religion was like a pillar of the entire country. They destroyed all of it. And so the CCP has maintained that same policy, though, that art needs to serve the interests of the Chinese Communist Party. When it comes to, of course, Hollywood, one of the things the CCP has done is extended its own censorship laws into our movies right here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And, you know, keep in mind, you know, movies, they're like the dream factories of this
right.
country. They're,
right.
They formed the global image of what America is. And what the CCP has done is co-opted that. They've made it so that movies cannot show the CCP in a negative light. They cannot show the U.S. military in a positive light. Films need to represent what they call, under Xi Jinping, the current head of the CCP, they have to show core socialist values, and they have a long list of other requirements. If you don't get those requirements, you don't get into China, and you lose, like, you know, half the profit your film could have made. But it's the same reason why they persecute Shen Yun. You know, again, Shen Yun is based in New York. It's an American performing arts company.
Right.
But the CCP cannot stop it. They cannot censor it. They cannot control it. And what Shen Yun is doing is showing pretty much everything that the CCP would try to prevent people from seeing. The values and culture that was destroyed in China, and even showing some of the current, you know, issues like human rights abuses taking place in China. They actually depict some of that as well. And so, you know, this is like, in my opinion, art in its truest form, and the CCP hates it with, like, you know, from the core of its being, right. The CCP hates it. Yeah.
In May 2023, just last year, not even a year ago, the FBI arrested two CCP agents that were caught trying to bribe IRS officials to remove their nonprofit tax exempt status.
Yep. Yeah. So what happened was, this was upstate New York, where they have a dance school up there. And again, you know, one of the reasons why I think Shen Yun is really important, aside from just being a beautiful performance, I've seen it several times, is that it's like a lightning rod for, like, CCP action. The CCP does everything it can to stop it. And so a lot of the CCP's agents kind of show themselves. They reveal their hands when they try to stop their performances. Chinese diplomats at Chinese consulates will send open letters to, like, U.S. government officials trying to get the shows canceled. And oftentimes the officials just show the letter publicly and say, you know, we'll never fold to communist China. How dare they try this? But upstate New York, what happened was that this was an arrest. The FBI arrested these two alleged Chinese spies. Again, it's still in court, right? But these individuals were accused of trying to approach what they believed was an IRS agent. The IRS agent was an undercover FBI agent. But these Chinese, what we believe were special agents, go to this undercover FBI agent who says he's, you know, works with the IRS. And they tried bribing this undercover, you know, again, alleged what they thought was an IRS agent, to try to make him revoke the nonprofit status of Shen Yun. And that kind of reveals a bigger picture, though, is one of the new tactics that we believe the CCP may be doing is they're trying to co-opt the U.S. government. They're trying to gain financial interest through corruption. They're trying to get officials to enforce Chinese law in the United States, which, again, I was in Chicago. I was investigating that just recently. They're trying to use our own government and have the U.S. government serve basically Chinese law right here in this country.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because we have a partnership with the new federal state of China. We have them on the show a lot, and they do a ton of reporting and whistleblowing on things. And it's really opened our eyes and our audience's eyes, because they do a great job of just, here's a report and take out the editorial and here's the facts. But one thing we always talk about is the courage it takes for them to do what they do, because, and some of our audience is like, oh, they're in America. What could go wrong? What could happen? And we're like, no, you guys don't understand, between the secret police and the spies and the diplomats, people who are speaking out against CCP in America or in Great Britain or in other countries, they are not free of the risk from the CCP. And we try to really reinforce that. But can you add any color to that thought, just for our audience, to say like, hey, even if you're in New York, like, you're not free of the CCP.
Not at all. I can give you several examples of that. So back in, I mentioned a lot of my investigative work into Chinese spy operations and so on started back in 2008. I was, again, a pretty new reporter with Epoch Times. One of the things I was investigating what was called the Chinese United Front Work Department. And this is a branch of the Chinese government that operates overseas for the most part, like in the United States, in New York City, you know, case in point. It works hand in hand with another Chinese government agency called the Overseas Chinese Affairs Office. And what they do is this. They have databases on every single Chinese expat, including even second and third generation Chinese immigrants. Wow. And so if you were born in America and your grandma was from China, you are in their system, and wow, they would target you. They, for example, I mean, with Shen Yun, for example, a lot of their family, a lot of the dancers who are, you know, here, they're American citizens and so on, but they might have family back in China. Their family members will get threats. The CCP will target their families. And I've heard this used against a lot of Chinese expats, including, again, even like second and third generation Chinese. The CCP will go after their families. It'll imprison their families, harass them, and try to use their families to pressure them to either become spies, which they never do, luckily, or to, for example, just quit doing what they're doing. You know, quit the dance company, quit Epic Times, because Epic Times has, you know, some Chinese staff too. But the reality is that, yeah, it takes a lot of courage. The Chinese people have stood up against this. And I think this is an interesting shift in this country. For a lot of Chinese Americans who either come from China or whose families come from China, what they're witnessing happening in this country is a lot of what they lived through.
Yeah.
When they see the attacks on American tradition and American culture, and they see the demonizing of our history and the stories, the foundation of this country, to them, they're like, "That, yeah, that's what they did in my country.
Right,
that's
right.
What they'll say. Right. That's what they did when I was a kid. That's what led the Communist Party to taking over, and I know exactly where those narratives go. I know exactly where they're going to take those things." And so for them, you know, I think they're trying to sound the warning bell for us sometimes. And I think maybe Americans are starting to wake up. But for a long time, we had this idea that, that can never happen here, you know?
Right, right. With them trying their best to go after older and younger Chinese citizens, some of them U.S. citizens living here in the United States. Have you noticed an attempt of them trying to stop what you're doing? Have you been approached? Have you been called? Have you some type of correspondence trying to shut you down and even putting the fear of God almost in you for a little bit in what you've been trying to do for the last couple years? Yeah.
Tried to. Back again, between around 2008 and 2012, I was doing a lot of investigative work into the United Front. The United Front is also tied in with the Chinese mafia. They call them the triads, right? And so one of the big organizations I was investigating was the Fukching gang, Fukching gang. They're one of the largest transnational organized crime groups in the U.S., and they're deeply tied in with the Chinese Communist Party. The reason I was researching them was because they were threatening to kill members of the Chinese community in New York City. They were gathering, for example, like by the hundreds, they were harassing people, punching people, threatening to kill like old ladies and stuff. This was happening in Queens, New York. This was in Queens, New York. They were mainly targeting Chinese democracy activists and people who practice Falun Dafa, which is, of course, persecuted in China. It's a religion based in truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. And so the CCP was doing that. I was reporting on it, and I started exposing how the Chinese consulate, and at the time, Chinese Consulate General Peng Keyi, was personally meeting with these people, how there were local government officials in the U.S. who were of Chinese origin, you know, one of them was, I believe, Taiwanese, who were meeting with these people and just giving them a free pass to just beat people on the streets of Queens. And when I started exposing the ties of these thugs to both the Chinese mafia and to the Chinese Communist Party, they were threatening to kill me. Several times, in fact. In fact, one time I was surrounded by them. Like, it must have been like 5, 6, 7. You know, it was so long ago. But, you know, to my face, they threatened to kill me. And, yeah, you know, I had to make the decision. Like, Jesus, is it worth doing this kind of work?
Right.
And you know what
right.
I said is, yeah, it is. Absolutely. Right. I would die to get this news out, frankly.
You know what's interesting, too, something you said a minute ago was... And we try to draw this connection for our audience. What you see happening in China, they're just 20, 30 years ahead of us in America. Yeah. They, I mean, if you look, they destroy the nuclear family. They destroy religion. They make the population over-reliant on the government. They detach. And it's all this cultural stuff that we've learned about Marxism. Exactly. But this weekend... one of the more terrifying things happened with this omnibus bill, and I saw you guys do some reporting on it, but Merrick Garland announced the launch of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order that was buried in the omnibus bill they just passed last week. And this is going to give a DOJ-controlled federal control of red flag laws and a resource center. And red flag laws, we've talked about on the show, it's just going to result in them taking our guns, which is part of what the Communist Party did in China, disarm the population. That's kind of the next step once you culturally destroy them. So what do you guys know? Are we right to be as panicked as we should be? Like, holy crap, this is really bad.
Mm-hmm. I think people should be a little more panicked, to be honest. You know, one of the things communism does is it tries to destroy self-reliance.
Yep.
And, you know, human culture, the traditions we have are the foundation of self-reliance. As you mentioned, the nuclear family, the values we have that create social harmony, rooted oftentimes in our religions, right? These things are the bedrock of a society. And what communism does is tries to destroy those things. Once they can destroy the things that allow us to live independently and have harmonious lives without the need for tyrannical government, what they do by destroying that is they manufacture a need for tyrannical government. You know, there was an analogy of Joseph Stalin, right, former head of the Soviet Union. I don't think it was a real story, but former Soviet, you know, people under the Soviet Union talk about this as an analogy of kind of what he did. He's walking one day through a farm with many people, you know, some of his followers with him. And they say, hey, you know, Mr. Stalin, how do you create compliance? How do you make people need you? And he says, watch this. He walks up to a chicken and he rips all of its feathers out, right? Tears them all out. And then he puts the chicken down and he grabs a handful of chicken feed and offers it to it. And the chicken eats from his hand. And he says, now this bird will depend on me for the rest of its life.
Mm.
You destroy people's ability, the things that give them autonomy. You destroy the things that let them live without the need for you. And once you do that, they need you, right? Mm-hmm. It's like an abusive relationship in some regards. But, you know, on the note of guns, that's just another piece of it, too. Right. Because, look, everything on God's given earth has some ability to defend itself. This is one of the core tenets of life itself, from, you know, the biggest animal to some of the smallest insects. Even a bug has fangs, and even a bug has pincers and has some ability to defend itself. The very nature of life has an element of self-defense. And if you destroy that, it's not like the need for self-defense goes away. It's that the authority of defense is projected onto something else. It's big government, you know, basically needing to fill that gap once they destroy that. They manufacture a need for tyranny, in other words. Otherwise, you're not able to be, you're not able to feel safe in your own home unless you have tyranny. And that's one of the methods that the Nazis used. It's one of the methods the Chinese Communist Party used. It's one of the methods you see being rolled out in other countries where people advocating for that same type of socialist or communist government are pushing in exactly the same way, using, ironically, some of the exact same narratives. These people, in my opinion, they don't want to get rid of guns. They just want to have the distribution of guns limited to the people they want to have them. That's it.
Right.
But before I let you go, and we want to have you back on, Josh. If there's one thing that we really love about the show, or if there's one thing about the show that we really want, is individuals that can come on here and not only hold a conversation, but they have deep analysis and the they can, their history of what they do can inform and educate. And you've been doing that for a long time, and I'm glad that we have the connection now. So we want to have you back on. But before I let you go, what is what are you working on right now for our audience? How can people follow you, and how can they support what you're doing?
Working on a few things. I have a documentary coming out, I believe, this Friday, the 29th, on how the United Nations is helping run the border crisis. I was down in Panama investigating this at the U.S.-Mexico border investigating. I have a pretty bombshell documentary coming out this Friday. I'm also looking more into the CCP's attempts to stop Shen Yun from being able to perform and the CCP's attacks on Shen Yun. Real quick for your audience, if they want to learn more about that, they can go to shenyun.com, S-H-E-N-Y-U-N.com.
Again, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Josh. And I'm glad to finally have you on here. Some of your videos and stuff are on your timeline. So I'm glad that you are putting that out too. But if you ever need anything from us, just let us know. We'll try to jump to make it happen, but we look forward to having you back on. We really do.
It's been a real pleasure. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joshua.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Phillips, host of Crossroad. Wait, when is your broadcast really show?
So my show is 5 days a week, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, and that's on Epoch TV, EPOCHTV.com.
There you go. All right. So make sure that you check out the Epoch Times Crossroads with Josh Phillips and in the morning, matter of fact. And then again, he also has that documentary coming out. We'll talk about the immigration thing next time we have you on.
Great. Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Talk to you later.
So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end. Days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running, or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects.
Oh, wait. You know what, though? I think he's wrong to a degree.
Really?
Yeah, I think that they would still be going after him because they're trying to make a statement.
I can see that.
So that nobody, meaning, yeah, we got him down, but we have to bury him. Okay? We got to bury him because if we let him up, then the people that come after him are like, okay, well, they just are going to go after us to a certain degree and just to make us stop. No, they want to hurt him. They want to hurt him long term, and anybody that comes in, they don't want nobody to have any hope after him. None.
Okay? Well, I think Trump represents what we want to see in politics. Whatever your opinion of President Trump as a man or his policies. Yeah. We want people who are American citizens, who serve in the real world, who go to Washington, D.C. to serve for X amount of time and then go home. We can all agree that our political class and these people that are up there for 50 years, they are not serving our interests. We've seen enough. All you clowns that have been up there 20, 30, 40 years, like, you suck. Go get a real job and not some job that you leverage your political position for. And we've said all along that this New York case is the most egregious because they are attacking his business, his way of life. And that is because the next Trump, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, is going to have to be a rich guy or gal. And they're whatever you think, they're not going to come from the political establishment. They're going to be some dot-com person or some other business person like Ross Perot. And they need to know, they need you to know, if you want to challenge the machine, they are going to crush you. But I got to say, this thing with Trump in New York might be backfiring a little bit. So every other week, the wife and I get together with a buddy and his mom and one of her friends. And like, his mom's 80 and her friend's 70, and they're Democrats. And so is my buddy. And I try not to talk politics because it just gets weird or whatever. And she looked at me and she both the ladies said, I can't believe they're really going to take Trump's business. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they don't follow politics that closely. They're like, okay, it's one thing if you want to go after him for January 6th or this or that. He worked decades to build that business, and the government's going to take it. And then her friend looks at her and goes, yeah, like, what's to stop them from taking anybody else's stuff? And they're like, they haven't even heard much about the case. And they're like, they're saying he lied to the bank about the vet, like the bank, like, who's going to lie to the bank where they're going to believe it? And I think you're going to, some people are too far gone. You see them on Twitter or in the Facebook comments, like, oh, this is a travesty of justice. He committed a crime. But normal people can say, we don't want the government going after any individual and taking all their stuff. Like, even if it's somebody on the left, like, I don't want,
we don't want that to happen, but Trump isn't the first person that that's happened to.
Right.
It happens
to all kinds of people.
It happens to all kinds of people that the government, not only would the government come in and take their business or force them out of business, the government will come in and take the property. Okay, I mean, there are groups, mainly poor, mainly those that really don't have a leg to stand on or anybody to defend them, and they will put an interstate right through a town or a trailer park. All right, they will do whatever they need to do. The government will seize and dare you to come, and they'll have you in court. You'll be in the ground. You'll be dead. You'll be dead. That's how long the government can outlast you.
If
they need you. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, what's happening to him is a little bit different because it's never been done to a political leader such as the former president of the United States.
And current front runner of the Republican Party.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That's wicked.
But that's what I mean. That's where you might get the boomerang from the normies, where there's going to be a certain percentage of people that have like, okay, you've gone too far. Like, why on earth are you going after his businesses and destroying his family and all that stuff for laws that you haven't enforced against anybody else in this way ever? So I just pray that you wake up.
Because again, it has happened to regular Americans on a smaller scale.
Right.
But we know of presidents that have committed certain crimes in the public eye that has not been treated like this.
Yep.
Major crimes. I mean, imagine, you know, we said on time, and I don't want to be the dead horse, but imagine if we had Republican AGs that would go after Barack Obama for droning people. He droned more people than any other president.
Yep.
It's documented. Barack Obama killed American citizens overseas, to tell you the truth. And nobody said them. Nobody say nothing. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday, and Tuesday 26th. Today was the 25th, so we'll be back tomorrow. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for the new Federal State of China and Joshua Phillips. Thank you for being on the show. You do really good work over there at the Epoch Times. We used to have a show over there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we used to have a show over there.
Oh, I love those guys.
We're going to try to do it again. But
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm just glad to see how much they're growing. Because like I say, when I saw billboards in Minnesota promoting their stuff, I'm like, this is wild.
Yeah, I saw a commercial with them on there too. On Fox News. No, was it during Super Bowl? It was during a big event, and I saw the Epoch Times, like, you know, they try to trash us, they try to bring us down, they try to do all that stuff, and we're still here. I was like, wow, okay.
There you go.
All right, last thoughts. Go.
Well, hey, folks, thanks for tuning in today. Do us a favor, especially if you're on the social media platforms, give a share. We got great chats on all the platforms, so it's really good to see those little mini communities starting up on Rumble and all the other things. But especially on, like, Facebook with the election coming up, they're suppressing the hell out of us.
I know they are.
It's crazy. Yeah. The one piece of warning that I'm going to have for you guys is there's going to be a couple huge stories this week that are going to have nothing to do with nothing. The House just passed this horrible bill on Friday. We mentioned the red flag law funding center that was in there. Russia, Ukraine is getting really dicey. Vladimir is sending big missiles. And the House of Representatives out of session for a couple weeks. So there's going to be something really stupid that's going to try to consume your news cycle and take you away from things. It's going to be some celebrity thing or something. Don't fall for it. Right. Keep your eyes on the prize and tune into the Wayne Dupree Show. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on.
The hush money trial is now given a firm date of April 15th.
So, tax day, Carl, get ready to pay your taxes.
Wow. There you go. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.